Hello, folks, and welcome back to the Brawl Boxing Podcast. I am Kieran McCourt, and I'm joined by co-hosts Colin McGuigan and Ram McLaughlin.
Guys, we're delighted to be joined today by John Ryder. John, how are you doing?
I'm good. Thanks for having me on, fellas. It's good to be here and finally sit down with you all and have a chat.
Good, man. How have the last few weeks been, John?
Yeah, I mean, strange, really, after last weekend's good but strange ending. Bit of downtime with the kids. But I feel like I've got something lurking around in me, not feeling myself at the moment. So maybe a cold coming out in me or something. But yeah, other than that, I'm still buzzing and still flying high.
And how long would you usually take off after a fight?
Well, I normally take off a week or two, but I was back sparring Felix Cash last Wednesday. Just he's fighting on the 10th in Leeds, so just done a little 6 rounds with him last Wednesday, and not done much else since. But I will start picking up the running again this week and get back into it.
We'll touch on the strange events of the last couple of weeks down the line in the podcast. But when we do this podcast, we like to bring it back to the very beginning. How did you first get into boxing, John?
Talk about bringing back to the beginning. Ain't November over yet?
do you know what? That's everyone is battering me for this. It's here to stay. John, right back to the start, man. Just like my mustache. How did you get into the boxing?
Funny enough, my dad, good friend of Jimmy Oliver's, the Oliver family, Spence Oliver and Danny Oliver, and he's got a pub up in Barnet, so the local gym there. Just told me about it and yeah, got me started up there when I was 13, I think it was.
And did you take to it at the start? Like a lot of people we have on, sort of like they say, like they were either really shit at the start or they were just really sort of talented. There never seems to be any in between.
I'd say, I don't know, it's hard to say. Funny fact though, me and Derek Chisora started the same day at Finchley Boxing Club all them years ago, which was a strange one, yeah. I like to think I could run before I could walk as such. I think I was trying to do like alley shuffles and Sugar Ray Leonard, like arm swings and whatnot, and dabbling back jabs before I could even hold my hands up. So yeah, I think I took to it. I wasn't a natural and a duck to water, but I did enjoy it. I've sunk about getting punched in the face that I enjoyed.
What was Del Boy like back then? Was he a scurry like, or?
He was a few years older than me, so I suppose he was in like the older group, more with the seniors, because he's always been a big lump, isn't he? But yeah, I think just a fresh-faced lunatic like he is now.
See, well, obviously you're coming to your peak, John. You've got obviously hopefully on the horizon, you've got the biggest fight you'll see, obviously against the likes of Canelo. We're hoping that will be the next one in line for you. But for us, like, we speak about it all the time about, do you know the effect of losing in boxing? And I think you should be like a big inspiration for boxers, because the way you've reacted to defeats in the past, like, and obviously you've got the unbelievable wins against the likes of Daniel Jacobs, etc., and you've got hopefully the Canelo fight coming up. That should be a big inspiration for fighters. How did you react to your first ever defeat?
First ever defeat was Billy Joe. So, I mean, in the pros, that is, sorry. I didn't really see it as defeat. I see it as more of a learning process. First time doing 12 rounds. Always had that excuse of it being on an away promoter's show. Always like, it's always been that thing of you need a knockout to win as such. But listen, it was a close fight. Didn't get hurt. Didn't get tons of miles on the clock. I learned a ton from it. So I always thought that would stand me well moving forward, which it did to an extent. But then obviously issues with weight and whatnot did cost me further down the line.
Were you able to be full-time at boxing when you were the first sort of few years?
Yeah, I mean, as soon as I turned pro, I committed to it completely, 110%. Obviously, it wasn't easy in the start. Obviously, you're boxing. I was lucky enough to box, I think, three times in 3 months. So, I mean, after making a debut, that's pretty frequent, to be fair. So, I've done that. I think I had a fight February, March and April, and then September, October, November of a year. So that was quite an active year for me, which was good.
There's whenever you look at your record, you know, your first KO, your only KO loss is the Nick Blackwell. And how did you rebound from that? Because a lot of people let that define their career and maybe use that as a scapegoat to kind of get out of future big fights. But you've used to spur yourself on. How did you do that?
I think at the time it was just the weight had beaten me that time. Nick Blackwell landed a hell of a couple of shots there, but I think I was up on the scorecards. I think it was at 6th round. I think I was 5 rounds up, boxing beautifully, but just the wheels fell off. He caught me with a body shot at the end of the 5th, and I think it just took everything out of me that I had left in me, and it wasn't a lot because I'd struggled to make that weight, and coming out for the 6th round, I mean, he did land a good shot. Just as I was on the attack, he landed a good counter shot, high on the temple, which was a weird stoppage at the time because I felt like if Harold Foster had stepped in 10 seconds earlier, there was no complaint from me. But when he did step in, I felt like I'd gone on the attack again. Nick had defended, and I took a backward step to try and regroup. And then that's when Howard stepped in. So it was a weird time for him to step in and call it. But listen, like I said, a learning curve, it hurt a lot. It was hard to get over it. It felt like a long road back after that. But there was a lot to take from it, a lot of lessons learned and things not to do again.
Yeah, I get that. No, like that's what we always talk about. It's the O effect that people are so scared to lose. And like the people you've obviously fought, you've had an unbelievable career. And I feel that that should be an inspiration for others to take them, because that's what boxing is lacking massively at the minute. People scared to step up, and you stepped up and you've been rewarded as well.
Yeah, and I think we're at an era where everyone wants to retire undefeated. That Mayweather era, 51-0. He's about 55 now, really, isn't he? But let's be fair. It's unless you're Mayweather, it's not realistic, is it? I mean, look at Canelo. He's been beat. He's stepped up, and I mean, if you're willing to step up and dare to be great, then you're going to take these risks. Other fighters have done it in the past. Lomachenko went for a world title in his second fight and come up short. You got to dare to be great, and I think if you do it, it's a better story at the end of it. If they make a film on Mayweather's life now, you know what the ending is. If they make a film on someone else's life, if they made a film on my life now, it'd be the interesting story of what happened in them fights, why it went wrong, what went wrong. So I'm happy the way things have gone. I'm not entirely happy with the way things have gone, but it's all for a lesson in life and all adds to my story.
I suppose like you can find some, like if a fight ends in a bad way, if you're beat on points or you're stopped, even if you think it's controversial, like it'd be a bitter pill to swallow, but you can sort of like say, well, I know what I did wrong. I can push on. I could beat that guy if it was a rematch. You can sort of like tell yourself them sort of things. But if you're at the end of like the Colin Smith fight, which was very controversial, is that sickening? Is that like a more sickening feeling if you maybe feel like you deserve to win the fight? I'm sure you had many, like a lot of them fights throughout your career, even in the amateurs, where it's like a robbery. What, how do you sort of deal with that? Because it must like sicken you from the sport a bit.
Yeah, that one was, I suppose, more so sickening now because I couldn't get straight back into it. Obviously, COVID come about. That was the end of 2019. Obviously, 2020 hit, and we had all the intentions of starting off good and having a good year. And I think it was penciled in to fight June time for the WBA regular. Obviously, COVID hit and that messed up all the shows for the year. So I didn't end up boxing until December that year on the Golovkin undercard. So, I mean, from having that heartbreak of losing to Callum Smith on a strange decision for the titles, you don't want to dwell on it. But all that was there was to dwell on it, because nothing was moving forward. Nothing was happening. It was all just standing still and stagnant. So it was nice to finally get out at the end of the year, get a points win under my belt. I was there in case anything happened to Callum, and I had to step in against Canelo. So that was also in the back of my mind. But no, it was nice to get out, get the end of the year, get out of the way, get a good win, and then build to 2021, which we all thought was going to be an even better year, but started off slow again. Sorry, yeah, 2021, which was still a slow year. But then things looked like it was going to open up, but still I didn't have boxing until September time. So all this time that I was hoping to really kick on and progress in my career, I've just stood still treading water, really, which was a shame. But obviously 2020 hit and we got the Jacobs fight, and it was a great start for me, and we finished with a great end to the year. So all that's behind me now, and just looking to build momentum now and keep going.
that Jacobs fight was obviously a brilliant fight, and it was a big win for you. How do you feel going into that? Were you confident that because obviously he's a big name from America, and that's a it's a good name to have on your CV as well, isn't it?
Yeah, fantastic name. And I think before I turned pro, I was watching Jacobs fight. So, I mean, I've seen him about. He's been around a long time, and listen, it was people say it was a close fight. I felt like I won pretty comfortable. He had early success, but that was always the plan. He was going to have early success and was going to take over. But he's a great name to have on my record. He's only been beat by the best, the Pirogs, the Canelos, the Golovkins, and myself now. So it's a great feat to have. And yeah, I mean, for me, it was a great start to the year, and it was all about keeping that momentum. But didn't really keep the momentum that we wanted, but we finished on a high. So yeah. 2022 has been a great year for me.
Absolutely. What see touching on fights like that, the likes of the Jacobs fight, the Callum Smith fight, which was a big deal, especially in Britain and stuff. Is your mindset different? In the and obviously you've well Canelo hopefully coming up next, which is going to be an even next level. But is your mindset different getting into them fights, or are you of the opinion like every fight's a fight, it doesn't matter who, or is there an extra bit of kick in you, an extra bit of nerves in them big fights?
I put a massive amount of pressure on myself for the Jacobs fight. I really had that as it's a must win. If not, I'm done. I'm retired. And it really took the enjoyment out of everything for it, whether it be the training, the runs, the fight week, the whole thing in the bubble. Really took the enjoyment out of the whole experience, really. So I knew once this fight came around with Parker that I had to know that it was a must win, but not put so much pressure on myself just to enjoy the moment that bit more and not be so tunnel visioned into just getting through things and getting it over with. So I did it. I enjoyed this a lot more, saved the memories a bit more, and yeah, took more away from it and it enjoyed it all. And I think it showed, not saying the performance, because I didn't really get to show much in the performance, but I think it just showed all round in camp and throughout fight week.
Talk to me a bit about that experience of the whole situation of what happened, because you wait 9 months to fight again, you fight and then it's cut short. Yes, you're victorious, but you don't get a chance to properly fight. Would you have done what he done in terms of quitting if you were in his position?
Listen, I don't want a bad mouth for man. He's got an injury, he's got a family to feed and whatnot, but I've been in fights before when I've fractured my hand in the second or third round and gone on and got a stoppage in the eighth. So that was in a British title eliminator against Jez Wilson. So I've been there, I've done it, and I've seen other people do it. Looking back at it now, I've watched the fight back a couple times. I don't know if Zach Parker's got much of a left hand. Everything comes off the right. So I just don't know if he could have carried on with just the left hand. I don't know if he's got that there, if he's got an injury to that hand, if he was only going into that fight one-handed. So I guess we'll never know. I mean, listen, at the end of the day, he's done what he's done now. We can't change it. I felt like I was just starting to get a foothold in that fight and really turn it. I think it was a close fight at the time. I know the judges had it. I think two had it. Him had him three rounds up. Steve Bunce had me three rounds up. One judge had it 2-2. And I just felt that I was really starting to turn the screw in that round. Caught him a couple of times and just walking him down a bit more and just starting to land my shot. So I felt like I was, like I said, getting a foothold in that fight, and I was about to start taking over. So I think another couple of rounds, I would have got what I wanted, but we'll never know now.
See, you touched on it there when you were saying about you wanted to not put too much pressure on yourself and actually enjoy the week. When you were going into that fight with Parker, did you feel better in yourself, even just walking to the ring? Did you just feel like, yeah, you're going to put in a better performance than the likes of Jacobs?
Yeah, definitely. I think obviously, I knew what Jacobs brought to the table. I knew that he was a great fighter. He's not been stopped by the likes of Canelo and Golovkin. So I knew that he's got a great chin. He's obviously very durable. Not that I was worried about trying to knock him out and I didn't have the stamina to last, but I knew that I was going to be in for a tough night's work with him. And I knew that he had the experience to make it an ugly fight. So I suppose that was in my mind a lot. I didn't want to be part of a boring fight. I wanted the fight to be exciting and whatnot. But when you're in there, you just got to let it take over and materialize. That's going to be. And the most importantly thing was to win and move on and fight to see another day. And ultimately, that's what I did. But it was a tough fight, and an experience that I didn't really enjoy like I should have.
See when you're in the ring, like you touched on it there, like you were saying you didn't want it to be a boring fight. That's something I've always found fascinating with boxers. Like I always wonder, and we spoke about this a few times on the podcast with people, do you have like them internal thoughts in your mind during a fight? Where are you thinking sometimes this is a bit lackluster, or oh, I want to make this exciting, or are you completely just in the zone? How's it work?
Yeah, you do. I remember being in the Smith fight, and I think got to the fourth round or something, and we had an exchange, and he threw a couple of shots, I threw a couple of shots back, and the crowd went up, and I just thought to myself, this is probably quite a good fight to watch. Like they sound like they're enjoying it. So yeah, I mean, it is that bit more to spur you on and kick you on. I think you can tell. I mean, obviously I boxed in Vegas, and I think the first round we was having a look at each other, and the fans were booing the Mexicans. They was baying for blood straight away. So that was a bit where you have to pull yourself back and realize that you're doing this for you, not for them. So like there's 12 rounds you got to warm into and not just get carried away in the first. So yeah, I mean, you can feed into the crowd a lot, and you can get a sense of how the fight's going and how they're enjoying it. But ultimately, it's about us getting the win and the fighters in the ring doing their job. So we've got to kind of blur that out as such.
Yeah, you touched on it there as well about fighting in Vegas. You've obviously got Canelo coming up, hopefully. Would you prefer that fight to be in Vegas again, or would you like it to be in a stadium in England?
Listen, I mean, Canelo is the man, isn't he? So obviously, Eddie mentioned the Emirates, which I would love. I think I could spit on it from my doorstep. that would be great. Not that I would spit on it, because I'm an Arsenal fan. So I wouldn't. Sorry. obviously, it's within walking distance of my house. So I would love that. But obviously, Canelo's the champ. He's got all the belts, all the marbles. So I'd happily go to Mexico or Vegas for this fight. I mean, he's the champ, and obviously I've worked hard to get myself in this position, but I don't expect to land it on my doorstep. So I'll go where I'm told.
John, how do you prepare for a fight like Canelo? Because obviously this is going to be the toughest of your career to date. It's a massive fight for you. How do you prepare for that?
I suppose like the last fight, but that bit harder. Like we always do. We always treat the next fight as the toughest and the hardest, regardless if it's Danny Jacobs, Zach Parker, or Canelo. I mean, I treat these fights as if they're my last and the hardest. So every fighter gets my respect, and they all get 110% out of me in camp. You've only got to look at the numbers throughout camp, in sparring, in running, and in my S&C work. They're always improving and always moving the boundaries. So I'll train meticulous. I'll leave no stone unturned, and I'll make sure I'm ready come fight night.
See, I actually spoke to Eddie in Phoenix this week, and he seems to think the Emirates is the front runner. I mean, obviously it all depends on Canelo and if he'll do it, but do you think you prefer to have it in the Emirates over Mexico, or do you get that away day for you? Because some boxers thrive on that, being the away fighter.
Regardless, I mean, I'm going to be the underdog, and Canelo's going to be the A side of the card, so I'll still be the away fighter in my hometown if that's the case, like I was against Jacobs. But I relish being an underdog. I think I'm stronger with the underdog mentality. I think it brings the best out of me and really spurs me on. So whether it be Mexico, London, or Las Vegas, the ring is the ring.
Yeah.
Do you have a message for Lionel Messi? Just so we can tag him in this and say, John Ryder wants you to walk him out.
Lionel Messi, I've got a signed shirt from him, actually, from PSG. PSG shirt signed from him, from one of my friends, Ahmed. So, that's nice. That'll go in a frame soon. But, just if you do make it to the final when you're against England.
It's not coming home, mate. It's not coming home.
Just final thing on the Canelo subject. He's obviously fought and beat a lot of British guys now. He has like an ongoing joke with Eddie that, you know, he just keeps feeding them these British guys and he beats them. Will you be watching them performances in the lead up the camp, or do you sort of not take note of anyone past? Like each fight is a different fight, so you don't really need to in that respect.
I don't really like watching too much. I think I watched one fight of Zach Parker's. Listen, the fight didn't materialise like we thought it would, and it got cut short. But I think Tony Sims obviously watches tons of video and stuff. And sorry, not video. No one watches video anymore, do they? It's all YouTube. The Tony studies it all, and he shows me clips and whatnot. And I think I like just to go off what he tells me. So I'm listening to the game plan he sets rather than second guessing. I mean, sometimes obviously I've seen all of Canelo's fights in the past and seen him against the likes of Ryan Rhodes, Matthew Hatton, Fielding, Khan. So I know what it's done and how it pans out. But I'm sure I will watch that bit more. Of Canelo and sit down with Tony and study bits and what we can work on. But I think we've known from the day how we would fight Canelo and what we'd do. So I think I'll just stick to that.
Just out of interest, who's your top five pound for pound at the minute?
I think Bivol and Canelo need to be right up there. I put Gervonta Davis up there. Obviously, also with what he's done with the cruiserweight to heavyweight. I mean, it's hard to put, for me, it's hard to put a heavyweight up in there. I'd love to put Fury in there, but obviously he's only going to do what he's going to do at heavyweight. He can't move down. He can't. There's no ways he can go to. Other than that, Inoue, looking forward to a weekend. Shame he's in against the brick, but he's an unbelievable fighter and a fearsome puncher.
What did you think of the weekend, John, in terms of Chisora? Would you have pulled him out a bit earlier, or do you think that the ref was right to step in when he did?
I think the ref called it really well. And I mean, the ref can only advise the corner at the time. But I think it was a tough watch after a while, wasn't it? I mean, we all know what Fury's capable of. And I think Fury even took a bit of pity at a point just to go through the motions and not go too mad. But yeah, I think when it got stopped, it was probably a few rounds too late, but I think Victor Lachlan done a great job.
Yeah. I mean, that was it. It was a tough fight to watch, like, as three boxing fans, and obviously yourself as well. I'm sure you're a huge boxing fan, and you know Del Boy, which makes it even tougher to watch. But, like, he's done so much for the sport, and that was, like, it did seem like a mismatch. It's easy to say that in hindsight, but I suppose a lot of people did think that going in. Do you think anyone can, by the way, just on the pound for pound list, did you say Gervonta Davis or Alexander Usyk for your second pick?
No, I said both, Gervonta Davis.
That's okay. I was just clearing that up because most people don't have Gervonta Davis in, so that's an interesting.
I rate Gervonta Davis, and obviously, well, I'd like to see the Garcia fight. There's a lot of fights for him there, do you know what I mean?
Do you think he beats Shakur?
It's a tough fight. It's a fight I'd love to see as a fan. I mean, I'm on the fence there. It'd be a tough one to call. It's an exciting fight. And do you think we'll ever see it? I don't know.
Yeah. I think we'll see it at some point. I want to get your opinion on one potential fight that's actually happening next, John, because I seen Amal Williams fight at the weekend. I'm sure you maybe watched it too, but you said you were sparring with Felix Kaish. Do you think that's a good fight for Felix, and you think he could beat Amal Williams?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, he's got a fight on Saturday, obviously in Leeds. Providing he comes through there unscathed, no injuries, and I think then, yeah, I think Amal Williams early next year. But listen, it's a great fight for the both of them. I think it's gonna be a WBA final eliminator, so it puts him in a great position. Obviously, Golovkin's the champion. He's had his best days of world behind him. So,
will that land on you and Canelo's undercard potentially?
Who knows? I mean, I don't know what they're going to say schedule wise or time wise, but it's a good division. There's a lot of good fights there. Obviously, you got the Eubank Liam Smith fight happening as well. So, they'll be looking for a spot like a WBA title. So, there's good fights for the winner of this fight, whether it be for the WBA title or another fight moving forward.
So, well, finally, it's obviously, what day? It's the 5th of December as we're recording this, so of Christmas in 3 weeks. I'm assuming, are they talking about the Cinco de Mayo date for Canelo?
I assume so. I mean, it's that or September, isn't it? So, I've not heard from Eddie since fight night. Hopefully I'll bump into him in Leeds and see what's happening. But hopefully we can get some news and see whether this is a good possibility or it's just a smokescreen. But I'm hoping that he's true to his word and we can get something that's over the line, and look forward to Cinco de Mayo weekend.
So will you be able to enjoy your Christmas then?
Yeah, I think so. What we've got, we've got 5 months till May. So yeah, I think I'll be able to have a nice few roast potatoes and a nice bit of meat and veg. So yeah, it'll be a nice Christmas dinner.
Good man. Well, John, we'll hopefully get you on in the lead up to that fight. We're absolutely buzzing for it, and obviously it'll be one of the biggest fights of the year next year. So we'll all be behind you. Just before we let you go, how much do you think France will beat England by next week?
Oh. I don't know. If an unlucky handball goal, it might be.
Done the us for fuck's sake.
That's deep, John.
He done us there, like.
What can I say?
He's actually personally attacked me about my mustache, and now he's mugged me off. I think we're gonna have to spar, John.
Lads, John,
yeah, John, absolute gentleman. We really appreciate you taking the time to talk to us as well, and we hope you have a brilliant Christmas. We'll hopefully catch you at some point next year.
Oh, and there he goes, right hand left hand, and I think he's gonna get up. I think it's all over. I think it's over. Is he gonna?